At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the podcast made by the fans for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello and welcome to a very depressed Up the Poshcast after our 2-0 defeat to Wrexham today. We're going to get straight into it. We've got five of the lads on today. Charlie is conspicuous by his absence after riling up the Wrexham fan base. He now hasn't turned up after we've lost. We're not sure where he's got to. But we have got public enemy number one, Ashley. We've got Dell. We've got Lods. We've got Max. And we've got myself. No Harry either today. We'll get straight into the game. Ashley, we're going to pass over to you first because I'm sure there's going to be a few Wrexham fans listening and they all want to hear your verdict more than any of ours. So what did you think to the game?
Yeah, look, I mean, we've lost. Am I surprised with how that went? A little bit, yes. Am I disappointed? Yes. It feels like a repeat of 3 weeks ago where we lost to Huddersfield. It followed the same tune, which is the unfortunate thing, really. We miss a chance at 0-0, a sitter again at 0-0. The ifs, buts and maybes, lots of people are saying to me on Twitter, oh, well, you missed chances. And then they're then coming back to me 2 minutes later saying, well, Mullin could have scored two, it would have been 4-0. So it's a bit of both, isn't it? Like, we've lost, it is what it is. I'm still not concerned in the slightest. The performance was off. The tactics were wrong. The starting lineup was wrong. Players went missing again. But overall, I still think we're only four league games into the season. I don't think that there's anything to be concerned by.
Max, do you have any concerns?
I think one of my biggest concerns is when we go 1-0 down. Or when we start losing and we get to the 65th, 70th minute and the substitutes are being readied and they come on in mind-bogglingly stupid places. I mean, the Wrexham fans were raving about their winger and we put Kean Hayes, who is a left wing of our trade, at right wing back to defend him. I don't understand it. Manny Fernandez at the end of the game, you know, wasn't even playing centre back. He was playing up top, and I didn't even know where Ricky J. Jones was. It looked like everybody had just lost the plot, and that was a bit of a trend last season as well. Is when we're winning, we're great. The substitutions are usually spot on. The system doesn't change. We keep grinding. We keep working. We score more goals, and it's great. But then all of a sudden, when we lose, the substitutes seem to come on in creative positions that just don't work. And I think that's a bit of a scary thing going forward. In terms of the play, no, there's no concerns for me. Again, I've said this team is this the whole core, apart from the midfield, is practically new, especially that back line. We still don't really know our best pairings with Katongo coming back, which I'm sure we'll discuss later. It's going to be great. But apart from that, I don't have any problem with the play. I'm sure I'll jump back in later when we talk about the players. But no, there's no concerns with play for me. It's just those substitutions towards the end of the game that there seem to be a bit skew-whiff.
Yeah, I think this is a story of Ferguson versus Parkinson. And I think Ferguson got everything wrong today and Parkinson got everything right. Normally, the way I see it is if there's no key performers on the pitch and a team wins, it's the manager. And if there's no real players that stand out as having a shocker, which I don't think any players for Posh did today, it means that the manager got things wrong. I did call for the starting lineup to be unchanged, which obviously did happen, but I think Ricky probably should have started. I don't know how often Wrexham play with a high line, but they played with a high line and we suffered because of it. Ricky could have easily got in behind a lot there. And then, yeah, for what it's worth, we did dominate for the first half an hour, like Ashley said, but Max is quite right. We went to a plan B in the second half and it just looked completely lackluster. We went to the back three like we did so often last season. I don't actually remember a time last season where we did that and changed the game. Normally when we go to a back three, that's just us giving up. And last season, we actually had the benefit of bringing on Johnson Clark-Harris, which could give us a different dimension at the top of the pitch. But we didn't have that either. So where we were lumping balls into the box, we were relying on Manny Fernandez being the one on the end of it. They had a free kick at one point towards the end. Poku and Ricky J. Jones were defending the cross in the box and Manny Fernandez was the last man up front. I don't know why we thought we were ever going to be able to get a couple of goals back playing that way. We had Otto managed to play right wing back, I believe, with Poku on the right wing. It just looked completely ineffective. I thought Otto was really good in the first half on the left wing, so I was surprised that Fergie changed it over. And then, yeah, like Max alluded to there, Kean Hayes comes on. Normally he's a right winger and he's playing left wing back against a player who was unbelievably quick for Wrexham. And they could have easily have made it 4-0, I think, towards the end of the game.
I think it's very easy on days like today to blame Fergie to an extent. But I also think we're in danger of becoming a bit of a transition team in the sense that we're very good when there's space in behind defences, and that's why we've been good away, where teams have had a bit more impetus to come at us. But when teams sort of bank up like Wrexham did today, we really struggle to break them down, and we did against Huddersfield too. And I don't want us to become so one-dimensional. And I think that's probably why Fergie was trying to change things, because we just didn't look a threat, and we haven't for 180 minutes of home games now against two teams that stylistically had some definite similarities, I thought. So it is easy to blame Fergie, and I do think he needs to move away from this. I'll just chuck all my attackers on the pitch, change the system, and that will make us more attacking, because it actually makes us look worse, I think, than when we're in that structured system that we play. So I do think he needs to move away from that, but I do have some sympathy, because I don't think there was enough sort of individual stepping up and just carrying the mantle to Wrexham. At times last season, you had someone like Mason Clark who got accused of being selfish, but one thing that he always did was show for the ball, and he was always available and always a goal threat. And we're really lacking that at the minute, particularly at home. And I think there was some particular weak points. And I know you want to speak about Dell. I know you want to speak about Randall, Dell. So if you want to come in and talk about Joel Randall's performance today, do so now.
Well, I'll hold on fire for Randall for a minute, but just sort of sum up where I saw the game. I'll agree with Ash to start off with. First, like 15, 20 minutes. Again, we looked half decent to be, well, we looked semi-decent. You know, we looked a bit attacking, a bit in control. But I think that was a bit more of Wrexham sort of giving us a ball and like trying to work us out, trying to work out what their game plan was going to be to obviously go against us. And then, again, we conceded a goal. And then we just showed our arse again. We just panicked. It just feels like there was no strength. There was no, I don't know, we just lost shape again. And we, I don't know, it just, something is not right with the squad, as in the balance. It was definitely men against boys. And I don't mean like men against boys in there was a better team than us and individuals. I actually think it was like men against boys, as in they knew how to play the game. You know, they knew what they was doing. They knew how to, like, slow the game down, speed the game up. Whereas we just was trying to do everything 100 miles an hour, you know, getting free kick. Oh, let's go. You know, I know we was chasing a game, but, you know, even last season we was in control of the game, whereas today we was never in control. Even for the first 15 minutes when we played quite well, we was just all over the place. What really disappointed me today is They're big guys, you know. You just look at them. You've got Mullin, you know, could be a boxer. You've got Matey, the sub who come on. I can't remember his name. You know, he looks like he can go into fucking MMA, whatever you want to call it. But they had all big guys on there, and they was getting stuck in. They weren't scared of, like, making a challenge. We all know about James McLean, for fuck's sake. That, you know, he's going to wind people up. He's going to get older people and like really antagonize him, which he was doing. You know, there's a couple of instances towards the end. I was just disappointed with the overall way we conducted ourselves, as in getting stuck in. We were shirking the challenges. At the beginning of the season, somebody asked me the question, is Manny going to be a regular starter? And I said, not a fucking chance. I actually thought Manny was probably one of our better players today, by default, not because he was any good as himself, but he was consistent compared to the rest. You know, I don't think he lost a header in the air, obviously, or on the floor, wherever he wanted to head the ball. Granted, they didn't always go where they should have gone, but he was always getting up and he was heading that ball and he was clearing it, it was going where it needed to go. I just don't think he's a great footballer. And then, obviously, we wanted to use his height. We moved him up front, as Lods alluded to a little while ago. So we had Manny up front and very ineffective. There's no point having him up front because we weren't putting the balls in at that stage because we couldn't get hold of the ball because, as I said earlier, the men were controlling up the boys. So fair play to Manny. I think I'll give him he was one of my highest marks players. And then my biggest criticism is Randall. I know people are saying, oh, you're only, you know, picking on him because of this, because of that. No, I'm picking on Randall because he was fucking pony. You know, I'm in football, you have to get stuck in. You're going to get hurt. You're going to make a challenge, you know, and you will get hurt. He was so weak. And Fergie, like, sussed it up the other week with his little comment, get the fucking ball, you soft cunt. It's so true. So true. It's like so many times. It's like, you know, he didn't want to get his fucking hair out of place. Or like, you know, if you are listening, Randall, I don't know if you are or anybody goes back to him, grow some fucking bollocks, get stuck in and you'd be a lot better player. You know, you have got the skill from here and there. You can pass, you can do this. But when it's a battle in the middle, you know, you got to get stuck in. You can't be a fucking pansy like you are. I suggest you go and make fucking, like, I don't know, picture pressing. What do you call it? Flower pressing or something, because that's what you are, a pansy. Grow up. Fucking be a bit tougher, you know. You do that and you'll do well, you know, because you do have the ability, you do have the talent, but, you know, games like today just don't suit you. Now, you could sort of say, well, fair enough, that's Fergie's fault for picking him in the first place, maybe so, but then kudos to Fergie because he did take him off at half time. I think everybody who watched that game would have took Randall off. True, anybody disagree with me? Just put your hand up if you disagree. No, but there are games where it suits him, where he has got the space. When you're playing a big physical team like Wrexham or Huddersfield the other week, it's not sort of time for Randall. You've got a squad of players, pick the right fucking players for the game, not the players that done well after the last one. I actually thought, moving on slightly, there's a noticeable change when Con Clark come on. He wasn't particularly great, but, you know, he won them tackles. He was getting stuck in. He was doing what Randall should have been doing in the first half, you know? And then, yeah, so it was what it was. What do you reckon, Ash?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that that's harsh because it's true to an extent, isn't it? But I think that what we saw in the second half when Con Clark came on was that little bit of dog, that little bit of fight where he's not afraid to put his foot in, is he, and get hurt a little bit. I think that in an attacking sense, in terms of picking the ball up, Randall was good. It wasn't fantastic, and it maybe wasn't quite what we needed today. But like you say, there's times where he's just got to stick a foot in or just like watch a man coming from over his shoulder. It's frustrating, but I think that we know that that is what Randall is, in that when he shines, is that he is very good. But unfortunately, in games like today, in games like Huddersfield, when it doesn't go his way and he sort of has Dobson, I think it was Elliot Lee, like, they're two very good midfielders, aren't they? And they were all over him like a rash. He didn't get a chance to sort of play his game. There was one sort of exchange I remember between him and Poku where it felt like he couldn't really wait to get rid of the ball any quicker. But overall, like, I still don't think that Con Clark is the answer to the Randall position. But equally, I'm not sure what the answer is at the moment.
So on Randall, because Randall's a really interesting one, and both of your points there are really, you know, I'm going to echo them completely. if Randall was bigger and more dominant, and he was able to be a bit more physical, as Dale was saying, we have a serious player on our hands. However, I think with Randall, we already do. And I think it's about how we unlock Randall's ability that we're failing on. I don't think it's necessarily Randall himself, so to speak. Obviously, his defensive work needs work, but it's more the fact that where do you go from here systematically if Randall's not going to help you win those midfield battles? If Randall's not going to come back, he's not going to compete with the big players, because I think going forward, he's so crucial to a lot of what we do. And when Chris Clark came off, I really missed the way, you know, Randall brings it down. He plays the pass. The first touch is so good. His close control is so good. We already know that. So when he came off, I almost missed that. Con Clark came off and the passes were misplaced. And that's because obviously he's a fresh body and he's adjusting to this league. But where do you go? And Del, I'll ask you, because I think it's important, especially you're so critical about his defensive work. Where do you go from here systematically to either A, unlock Randall's ability to create while maintaining a defensive capability, whether that's bringing another defensive player in, whether that's making sure one of the wingers drops back, or do you change the system completely and take Randall out entirely?
You know, I think I've already just sort of said a little bit, is that there's certain games that certain players fit, and today was not the game that Randall should have started, because we knew he was going to get bullied. We knew that he wasn't going to win a tackle. So you're already sort of like a man down. Reminds me very much of Maddison back in the day. Like Maddison, I fucking hated that bloke. But I will stand by that, the fact that the ability that guy had was probably second to none that's ever played for Peterborough. Potentially, he was so good. You know, his free kicks, sorry, not his free kicks, his ability to, you know, pick out a pass and his crossing was fantastic. Randall can potentially do that, but again, with Maddison and Randall, where they're so similar, is they're scared to like even get close. You know, the goal the other week, even today, if he'd got closer to the player, not even made a tackle, just got closer, the guy, it was Shrewsbury, the guy wouldn't have even been able to make the shot. You know, so if he weren't making a shot, he was never going to score. Like today, when I think Manny had three people coming on for what's his name's first goal, well, his only goal, Jack Marriott. So Manny was out of position because he's trying to cover for Randall, that if he'd got closer to his player or just put the ball away, he would never have got out onto the left wing, and then Manny wouldn't have been out of place, and then Wrexham, would never have got the ball to sort of Marriott to score the goal. You know, so you could always go back as far as you want. Sounds like I'm digging Randall out, and yes, I am digging him out today because he was fucking shit. But then next week, if he has a great game, I'll stick up for him, you know, and give him out. So there are some areas that really, really need to improve, and I would change the system if it meant dropping Randall against when we play against these big, chunky League One teams. The answer to your question.
Yeah, I think with Randall, I think we've seen it for how many years has he been at Posh now, and nothing's really changed in that sense, and I don't think at this point it's going to. So we know Randall's flaws at this point. This game, yeah, he didn't look great in it, and he very rarely does in games where there's not a lot of room and he can pick those pockets of space. So I think with him, we know what we're going to get. It is not a surprise. I think if you sat here and predicted what Randall would play like today after seeing the first 10 minutes, all of us would have said it's not a game for him. But I think there's an interesting one in the sense that Randall wasn't the only one going forward that was poor today, right? And I think there's now, again, a debate up front over who starts up front, because all those things that we've directed at Randall in the sense of not being involved enough, not being physical enough, etc., probably could be directed at Malik Mothersill again. And I know that might sound a bit harsh because he scored against Exeter, and there were occasions where his link play was good, but I'm still concerned that he's not being involved enough when he starts games. He's a tidy footballer, but is he that good a finisher? Is he that much of an upgrade on Ricky at finishing? I still think there's question marks over that. And I'm not sure his link-up play is as amazing as it needs to be to sacrifice what Ricky offers you from the start at times. Ash, what do you think to that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I said when we recorded last week that it should be Ricky at home because we need to get the crowd up. We need to get them pushed back, the opposition that is, and just sort of get going from the get-go. And I didn't feel like we had that. And don't get me wrong, I love our players showing their personality and being involved and coming back at people. Look, if you're going to do something and say it, like I'm probably one of the best at it, you've got to be able to back it and not just disappear into the gods. But it's all well and good, Mothers Hill putting tweets out like he did last week saying, don't talk about my name and things like that. But then don't go and fucking miss another sitter, 2 in 3 games now, where we've had one at Shrewsbury, we've had one against Wrexham today. Like, that's your job. Like, it's scuff shots against Exeter. Fantastic. You've scored. I'm delighted for you. And I don't want you to not be that person where you're coming out and you're reacting. If people are giving you shit, go for them. Absolutely. Love it. But then don't do the fucking basics wrong like that and put the ball wide. Like, the game's wide open at 0-0. We score. I think we then go and score another 2 or 3. Ricky came on, and within sort of 30 seconds, we'd won a corner from him just sort of running at their defenders. I don't think that we ever really stretched them. And ultimately, as everybody says to me, we've had no shots on target at home. Like, that's shocking. Like, whether that be from Poku, Oddo, Randall, Con Clark, Mothersill, Ricky, even the defenders coming up for set pieces, no shots on target in 90 minutes on football is just completely unacceptable in my eyes. And something needs to change.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that, Ash. The fact that we haven't registered a shot on target at home, especially when, you know, we're all there trying to create a sort of atmosphere and get on our feet. And how can you expect fans as well to get on their feet and get behind a team when, you know, we're passing in and out of that midfield zone and we're not shooting. And even when we're not shooting, we're not creating either. And it brings me on to my point on the lack of crossing from everyone on the pitch, but especially the two fullbacks. You know, there was opportunities today where both fullbacks had made overlapping runs. Sparks, especially, made a few really good overlapping runs today. And Oddo almost just doesn't see him. He just lets him run past him and takes it back and then gets the crossing, of course. But, you know, we could easily get a low-driven crossing, especially when, you know, Mothersill's lurking. You've got Randall and Poku in the area in the box. You know, it's crazy how we're not crossing these balls into the box. The fullbacks, when they aren't making overlapping runs, especially, they get into areas on the edge of the box and they just pass it around. Like, Jack Sparks got into an area where he could have easily crossed it to the back post, and instead he took a shot and it went up into the GH display stand. It's silly. I know we're not up front anyway. We might not be the most physical sort of tall, big presence sort of side, but getting those crosses in, you know, it takes one poor clearance to have a really good chance. And I feel like we're lacking that crossing, that you know, just create a chance, just get it in there. If there's nothing on, just get it in there and see what happens.
So I kind of disagree with you there, Max, in a sense, because Wrexham had 3 massive centre-halves today. So if we're going to cross, it has to be productive. And Sparks did put in one really good ball in the first half where nobody was on the end of it. And then I think it was Sparks again where Kyprianou headed over in the second half. I just don't think crossing was ever going to be that productive a method of scoring against a team like Wrexham. What I do agree with you on, though, is both Curtis and Sparks are not getting forward and are not overlapping enough to release the wingers. I think both Oddo and Poku would benefit from somebody going on the outside. I mean, remember Kyoso last season? I know we're talking about Kyoso again, but he was so good at driving forward, which would bring the space for Poku and make Poku more effective. And I think that's part of the things that we're lacking. But we are a team that, and I flagged this in pre-season, that's lost 60 goals in the summer. Now, we're 4 games into the season. We've scored 6 goals. We haven't been great at home, but I think there has to be, I don't want to sound too pessimistic here, because I think there has to be some time given to this team to bed in a little bit, because we did lose so many goals from this side. So I think that, you know, there's room to be concerned because we're not looking much of a threat. But is it actually that much of a surprise? That's the only thing I would say.
No, and I agree with you there, John, to be fair. I agree with you that we're not, you know, this team has to gel. I'm the biggest sort of advocate for that I'm more than happy to wait for the team to gel and give it that time. On the crossing, I completely disagree with what you said. Look, I know that they're a big side, a big presence, and getting the ball into the box is going to be a problem. I completely get that. But the resort of not crossing it when we get into those areas for this team is what I was getting at, is then they don't play out to the wingers, or they don't try and pick a pass out and play it through the middle. They turn around, it's straight back to Manny Fernandez, straight back to Jed Steer, and recycle the possession. So I would much rather put a cross into the box and risk someone having a dodgy clearance and giving a chance than spinning around and sending it all the way back to Jed Steer to recycle the possession when we're losing a game and we're just trying to throw everything at it to get a goal back. I think it's silly that we're not even trying it. Yes, they're a big side and they're a big presence, but you've got to try it sometimes. And we didn't do it enough today, I don't think. And it's been a problem since the start of the season for me.
I think we're all in agreement that the problems today come from our attacking side of the pitch and not our defensive side of the pitch. Not scoring at home is just embarrassing for us. That's not what we're about at all. But I did want to bring up the second goal, the one we conceded from the corner. As soon as we lined up for that corner, I actually sat down in my seat and I stood next to Charlie and I said to Charlie, we're conceding here, because I knew. And I've got the screenshot in front of me now of how we've set up. And to be honest, it's really confused me. So we've not got a defender on either post, which is fine. We've got two players in front of the near post, presumably closing down any sort of near post crosses that come in. Mothersill and Poku. There's two Posh defenders in the six-yard box and three Wrexham attackers in the six-yard box. So Jed Steer is man-marking someone in the six-yard box. That player that Jed Steer is man-marking was the one that stepped backwards to block the run, which gave someone a free header. And it did end up being Sam Curtis that had to deal with two Wrexham attackers. I know I had a little dig at Fergie earlier, and I'm sure Fergie's probably not the expert at set pieces on the training ground. I'm sure we pay someone to do that. But that is a really, really, really poor way to set up from a corner.
It wasn't a great game. I don't think we've done particularly well. We have criticised the team quite a lot today. But let's take on some of what Max has said as well. If we're going to start praising a team when we do well, we've got to praise them, rightly so. But we should also criticise them like we have done today. So it's not a case of jumping on their back, giving them grief and all this just for the sake of it. I think we're being constructive in what we've done. Maybe I've gone a little bit over the top, but, you know, I've still been constructive. But it is what it is. We didn't play well. Individuals didn't play well. There's room for improvement. I think we've got to change the system from time to time. And I think we also need to take all the shit and any feedback that we get from the Wrexham fans. Because obviously on the podcast, I believe a couple of our guys have been onto different podcasts for the Wrexham, two or three different podcasts I think we've been on. I think you've been on to two, Ash, and I think Charlie was going to go on to one. And, you know, we had our opinions and we had our views, and yeah, some of them was a bit tongue-in-cheek and some of them we genuinely believed. But then, obviously, we lost today and we have had it... Well, we've had loads of feedback, loads of tweets to us, loads of shit given to us. And you know what? We're going to take it because... On this, we're all men. Charlie's not here, so I can say that honestly. We're all men. We can take it. So it wasn't a great game. We didn't do particularly well, but, you know, next Tuesday could be good. But we'll talk about Gillingham in a little while. So, Wrexham fans, carry on. Keep giving it to us because that's what we're here. We'll take it. We'll give it. We'll take it. What do you reckon, Ash?
Yeah, look, I mean... I will stand by what I said in our pregame, and that was obviously clipped up and made very much a viral tweet, which has meant my my DMs. But I just wanted to sort of mention, obviously, Fearless in Devotion. They have reached out to me this evening and just dropped a little message saying that obviously they didn't expect this much heat to come from the clip. I completely understand it. Like I say things, I know that they're going to come back to it. So I'll read the message out for everybody just so that we can all be clear. Look, I'm not doubling down, but I will stand by what I said. So the message says, just checking in. Hope you can accept that I absolutely did not expect that amount of heat to come your way. Some take it too far, and that's something I don't really abide by. You seem like you can take it, and that's fine. But I know a boy's get sad badge when I spot one. I've been on the receiving end of some right grim stuff in the past, and much to my annoyance, I let it get to me. Generally, hope everything is okay, and you are taking the acceptable stuff on the chin. All the best for the rest of the season, and heartfelt apologies from me for any indirect crap you've received. So, like I said, look, anybody that watched my Getting to Know, and I implore Wrexham fans to watch that on YouTube or listen to it via Spotify. Obviously, you'll know my reasons. I won't go into that too much now because that's a discussion point for another time. I stand by what I said, but thank you, Phyllis in Devotion, for reaching out. It's much appreciated.
Nah, fair play.
Yeah, that's a class touch from them. And I think just in general, as a message from us, I think we all agree Wrexham deserved to win today. I thought they were way more effective than us in both boxes. I still have some question marks over whether that style of football, you'll all enjoy it in the long term, but don't come at me because, like I say, I think you were well worth the 3 points and it looks like you're going to have a pretty good season in League One if you keep playing like that because you're very awkward to play against. With that said, we're going to move on now and start talking about the transfer window. Posh had a busy deadline day in the end. Bit of a surprise. Dara seemed to be playing it down all day on Twitter, as sometimes Dara can do. And then Posh ended up signing Bradley, and you're going to have to forgive me if I butcher the pronunciation of his surname, Bradley Ivonian. Anyone want to come in on that? The bigger one, I would think, for all of us is Jadel Katongo. Personally, delighted with the Katongo buy, I think, or loan. I think he's going to be a really, really big player for us this season at centre-half. Very, very excited to see him play his actual position. Max, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I was a huge fan of deadline day and our replacement as a whole. I think our replacement as a whole has been good with the options and the money that we've had and the options that have been available to us. So I applaud McAntonians and Barry Fry for that. It's some really, really good recruitment that I'm a massive fan of. Deadline day as a whole, it was a bit of a roller coaster towards the end because I didn't think we were getting anyone, and then all of a sudden it was Katongo's a go, and then this striker from Colchester came out of absolutely nowhere. I mean, he was on the bus traveling to their game, and then he was like, no, he's a Peterborough United player, I had to come all the way back. So it was a delight. The Colchester fans were gutted that Bradley's left. I'm not going to try and pronounce his surname. I'm sure we'll get used to that as the season goes on. But they were gutted that he's left, which is always a really, really good sign, especially with a player that I'm not overly clued up on. So to see fans upset of his absence is key telling for me that we might have a good player on our hands. And it seems like it's been a long wait for him. We've been looking at him for a while from what Dan McAntony said. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him, especially in the debate we've just had over Manet Mullisil, you know, failing to capitalise on certain chances and Ricky, in the same, offering a very different sort of skill set. It might add a different skill set to our attacking options, which would be good. And Jadel Katongo as well, over the moon. We've got a sliver now of our last season's core, you know, with Kitriano Collins, Randall, Ricky, and now Katongo at the back as well. That spine that we sort of lost in Ronnie Knight, Burrows, we've gained a segment of that back, which is really nice because the team last season was phenomenal. And so was Katongo, especially in that stint where we needed to step up when Chiozzo left. I went back to Rotherham. He stepped up and he was really, really good to the back end. I think most Posh fans are really happy with that. And as John said, I'm going to echo his point before I shut up. I think his ability at centre-half and his ability to cover multiple areas of the pitch, because let's not forget, he put in a really good performance at CDM when he was called to do it. really good performances at right back, and he's a centre back by trade. So having a player that can cover three areas on loan where maybe our depth isn't where we want it to be, I think is excellent. And it's such a positive signing to get you up for, you know, for the next couple of game weeks. So really, really happy with that.
Regarding Bradley, I wonder if, because our next league game isn't for a couple of weeks now because of the international break, I wonder if Fergie will drop Mothersill after his performance today and put Bradley straight in. And if he starts performing straight away, he could well cement his place quite quickly. Regarding Katongo, it's a bit of a strange one. I think we kind of knew we were going to sign a centre-back, but I don't think Manny's played too badly. And he's now going to be fourth choice. As I understand, he's probably going to be playing behind Nevitt, especially with Nevitt being the only left-sided centre-back that we have. And there was points last season where I considered him the third choice centre-back because he was getting in ahead of Critchlow for a lot of that second half of the season. And obviously Katongo was being used at right-back. I wonder how Manny feels about assigning Katongo. I assume that we'd be playing him at left centre-back with Wallin right centre-back. I wonder if how Manny would feel knowing that he's probably now going to get little to no game time after such a strong start to the season.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's assuming he is going to be playing centre back, because at the moment, I don't think I'm sounding so hypocritical, but I don't think Manny's done enough wrong to warrant being dropped, to be fair. I know that's hard for me to say, but I'm saying exactly how I see it. So potentially he's going to be playing right back because Curtis didn't have a great game today, I don't think. Although he was man of the match last week, it weren't particularly great. So will Katongo go back into right back? I'm not even going to say who this new striker is who we've got. Did you say Brad? I could barely say, I can hardly say Archie Collins, let alone this new guy's name. That's more on me than anybody else. So overall, from a transfer point of view and transfer deadline day, I think my best signing for me is Katongo, because he is that versatile player that can play the centre-back, can play the right-back, can play the centre-midfield. Potentially, could he play the centre-midfield role when we're up against the likes of today instead of Randall? Who knows? I'm not the manager, but We've got a good core, we've got a good core. They just need to toughen up a little bit, be a little bit stronger. And just going back to what Max was saying about McCantney, is that he didn't think anything was going to happen. Come on, this is McCantney's bag. He lives for deadline day. No, nothing's happening. One day the youngsters will understand that. Don't believe a fucking word he says, because he was never not going to make a signing on deadline day yesterday. Absolutely no chance was that not going to happen. So to get a couple, I don't know much about the lad from Colchester. All I do know is what I've heard is he's got more yellow cards than he's scored goals. Potentially that's what we might need. I think it's 7 yellow cards and 4 goals in his short career. Hopefully that's for like getting stuck in and not dissent, because we don't need an argumentative little shit. We need somebody who wants to get in there. So I don't know anything about him. I'm not going to judge. But, good luck to him. Overall, I think the window's been okay. Not been outstanding, it's been okay. We've got the guy that came back today, Nevitt. I liked him in pre-season. I don't think he looked particularly great today. But then again, you can't judge it after, for the 3-4 minutes that he come on. Let's see what happens, where we go. Today's another day. I mean, tomorrow's another day. Tuesday's another day. Today was shit. I keep going back to the day, even though we're talking about transfers, because I think, disappointed. Like, I'm even red-faced because I'm a little bit sort of disappointed with the game. Not because I'm pissed, because I'm not drinking, but, I feel a little bit disappointed with the game. And normally I don't give a shit about the results. If we win, lose, draw, whatever. But it's when you don't play very well, it upsets me. And hopefully all these players now coming in, we've got a bigger squad. We can get the right squad playing in the right games. So there we go.
Ash, do you think we obviously had quite a busy transfer window in the end, and I think that was by necessity more than want, because we just lost so many players. But do you think there's anywhere in the squad that you would have liked to have seen McCantney go and buy? Is there any positions that you wanted to see improved or enhanced upon?
The short answer is no. Really, I actually think that we have a really good squad, and actually, and probably a better squad than we had last year, even though we're maybe missing those one or two standouts and fantastic performers. But I came before we came on, I looked at where we were at this time last season. We played five games, league games, that is, and we'd won three and lost two. So we've played four now, we've won two, lost two. I think that realistically, we probably didn't start playing good football until Port Vale away or after that. That was when our change happened, didn't it, from sort of dropping JCH. So I think that, and that was probably middle of October time. So in terms of that sense, I think that we've still got another 6 weeks where we may be a little bit ropey. The new transfers will bed themselves in. I think that we might see a change of system with Katongo coming in, because I think that Fergie's probably going to still like playing our two taller centre-backs as well. So we might slot Katongo in the middle of a three. That would be something that would entertain me, because then you've got two really good ball players in Valin and Katongo, and then obviously Manny to win every single header that comes into the box, apart from maybe one corner, but is what it is. So I'm happy with the squad. I'm happy with the signings. I don't want to run back to today, but you go from such a high. Like, I was on the Borough of My Mind live last night at 11 o'clock when we had two signings, and it was like we were at the top of the roller coaster, weren't we? To bring back the roller coaster analogy, and then today we're very much at the bottom of it. Everybody's deflated. There's lots of who's not done this, who's not done that. We're guilty of that. But overall, the transfer window for me is a strong one. The only thing that would have made it stronger is probably getting rid of those two bits of dead wood that we've now got sat around in Adjaboy and Cridgelow. But hopefully something will happen with them in January. But overall, yeah, happy 8 out of 10 transfer window. Only thing to bring it to a 9 or a 10 would have been getting rid of those two.
I think our window has been good. And I do agree with all the points that have been made today. But if there's one thing I think we're lacking, it's experience. We lacked it last season and got away with it. So it is difficult to say that we need it this season. But after watching the game today and when we played Huddersfield as well, I think it showed. When we come up against the older, experienced players, they know how to play football and they do it well. Whereas I think our players sometimes make the wrong decisions. It will come. I do trust Fergie's coaching. I trust the players in Collins and Kiprianu and our new leadership team to be able to sort of mentor the inexperienced players through, but it's going to take time and we're going to see some bad results because of it. And I don't know if we can afford to have bad results if we're going for top two. Last season, our expectations weren't top two. The bad results we got at the start of the season, we didn't really think were overly important. But now the expectations is top two. Results like today is a lot worse than what it would have been last season.
Yeah, I think if you're looking for experience, it may not come with our next game, though, because our next game comes on Tuesday night against Gillingham and it begins our defence of the Bristol Street Motors Trophy, unless it's got a new sponsored name, which I don't believe it has, but it normally gets one every season, so I might have missed it. Ash, are you going to Gillingham first up? And are there any players that you want to see come into the starting lineup? Because presumably we're going to make changes. I did listen to Fergie's interview and he suggested that he wants to take it seriously again. He suggested that he's not going to make a huge amount of changes. But are there any players that you're desperate to see?
I think that Con Clark comes in from the start. Like we say, Fergie's big thing with the competition is that you win your first two group games and then you can take your foot off the gas for the third, knowing that you've qualified for the knockout stages. I personally fucking love the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. I'm a massive fan of it, and it's one of the highlights of the season when you get to come up against these academy teams. So I am very much looking forward to Crystal Palace, who we've got in our league this time. But I hope that we take it seriously. I think that we'll maybe see a goalkeeper change. Obviously, I'm expecting Nevitt and Katongo to probably come in on Tuesday. I've just had a look to see if Bradley has played for Colchester yet, and it doesn't look like he has. So there is a chance that he will come in as well. But then I think that probably when you're looking at... I said that I don't want wholesale changes, and I'm about to name a completely different 11. But I, like I said, I think that's because our squad is stronger. I think that maybe Pocker will be rested, and then Hayes comes in. And then maybe one of... I think that Fergie likes a Hector 45, Archie 45. So then you're then looking at maybe O'Brien Brady getting a 90 as well. But if we make 11 changes, we make 11 changes. If we only make two or three changes, then I'm good with that as well. I think that we should hopefully be strong enough to see off Gillingham away from home.
Yeah, I'm also potentially going. When I say potentially, I probably will go. What time I get there is another matter, because obviously I've got a full day at work and need to get away, do what I've got to do. So with the lineup, I think there will be changes. We proved it last season, there will be changes. But I'd like to think we still will take it seriously. Like, I don't think we really necessarily took it seriously at the start of last season, but it sort of moved more serious the further we went. We know full well we can win it. We know what's up in front of us. Excuse me. And let's go for it again. Let's be the first team to like win it back to back, I think. Nobody else has done that, have they? No? Okay. So let's try and do that. There should be, what's his name? Nevitt, I think, should be playing at centre-back, get him back, see how he's going, give Katongo a run out, Brain Brady, whatever his name is. I can't say it. I've never been able to say it. Even if it's written down in front of me, I'll still get it wrong. And potentially this lad from Colchester, give him a shot up front, see what he's like. But one thing I would like to see is, it ain't going to happen, I think somebody mentioned it tonight, is play two up top. I'm an old school, and I'd happily go 4-4-2. All right, I know it's not the fashionable thing for all these like up and coming managers and people who play PlayStation, but 4-4-2, so basic. Get your two wingers out there, get Malik Mothersill and Ricky J. Jones up front together, or two of the three with a new guy from Colchester. See what happens. We've got to lose. Absolutely nothing. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope we take it semi-seriously, and I hope we get a result. I hope we don't go to penalties. Want to get back over that bridge and get home. If anybody is going, you're going over the Dartford Crossing, make sure you pay for your toll, because you're going to be getting a 50 quid fine. Okay.
Regarding taking it seriously, obviously, I think we should try and win, because you can't go into any game and say, oh, I hope we don't win. But what we're talking about here is how strong of a lineup we put out, isn't it? And last season, when we were sort of like quarterfinals of the BSM, I was quite vocal online about saying how I don't think that we should purposely play a strong squad to get to the final. I'm going to say the same thing this season. I can't help but feel that as much as it was a nice day out at Wembley, it was a distraction to our promotion push. And there is not a chance in hell that I would take another trip to Wembley over a promotion. I said it after Wembley. I said it on the way home, that I'd rather get promoted than have had that moment. And I absolutely stand by it now. So I would play a weaker squad. I'd make sure that our first team players got some nice rest. And I'd give a run out to some of the players that might not get as many minutes. You've mentioned a couple, but even like the Tyler Young, I'd play. And Harley Mills, I think I'd give him a run out. I literally would play our second team.
So I'm firmly in Lod's camp on this one, although I think where we are at in the season, places are genuinely up for grabs, particularly in the forward areas. So I would like to see Kieran Hayes play. I think I would keep Kyprianou in the team because he needs game time. Katongo has to start for me. He came in his interview and said he wasn't particularly match sharp. So I think those three are the definite three for me. The rest of the team, do what you want, because I couldn't care less about it. So on that note, hopefully this hasn't been too deflating an episode. I know the game today was, like Lod said, it felt like we were at the top of that roller coaster after two wins, felt like we were really clicking back into gear. And that was a bit of a kick in the teeth today. So a bit of a shame. Not ideal that we go into an international break now and have 2 weeks to stew on it before our next match. But thankfully, it won't be 2 weeks to stew over this podcast because we don't take international breaks. We are back next week with another episode. For that episode, we want to hear from you. We want to hear some questions. We've been obviously doing this for a few weeks now. We'd love to hear from you and get some thoughts on the season, anything you want us to answer, anything you want to know about the host. If there's any Wrexham fans that want to listen again and ask Ashley some more questions, that's absolutely fine with us. So, yeah, get your questions in. It's Up the Podcast on Twitter, Instagram. Put them in the YouTube comments or all our Twitter names if you go on YouTube are under our names on this. So you can add us personally if that's what you'd rather do. And with that said, we will wrap up. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will be back again next week. Up the Posh.
Up the Posh.
The Poshcast.
Up the Posh. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast. Up the Posh. Up the Posh. Fucking hell. That was so much better without fucking Harry.